Well, friends, I invite you to turn with me to the epistle of 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And this morning we'll spend our time looking at verses 7 to 12. 1 John chapter 4 from verse 7. The apostle of love, who is John, writes the following. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but God's word stands forever. Amen. In 1973, a boy named Hinkey lifted a 3,000-pound tractor with his bare hands. A teenage boy of that. Now, Hinkey was not a weightlifter. He was not a big guy. But his friend, Lloyd, 18 years of age, was pinned under a tractor on a farm near Rome. Upon hearing screams, Hinkey somehow lifted the tractor enough for Lloyd to be able to wriggle out of it. And so we ask the question, how did he do it? How did this teenage boy lift such a heavy tractor? What was his motivation for doing that, to be able to do that? You see, friends, love was the real motivation. Hinkey's love for Lloyd was so deep, was so strong, that when he saw his friend in need, he did what we call the impossible, and he saved his friend's life. Friends, what we'll see this morning is the greatest gift that God has given to us. That is a gift of his Son. And because of that gift, God calls us to respond in appropriate, godly manner. That is, in turn, we are to love sacrificially, just as he has loved us. Friends, God is love. This means that God defines what love is. So it is impossible for us to speak about love without speaking about God. We cannot know God without fully understanding his love. This is what John would help us see this morning. He is exhorting us to love because love is from God. The life of a true genuine believer will be one that is marked by love for God and by love for others. This is a call to love in a radical way. A way that is different from the world. You see, when we begin to define love in the worldly sense, the love of the world can be conditional. I'll only love you if you continue to do X, Y, and Z for me. That love has restrictions. It has stipulations. I will only give you love if you do this for me. It is a love that is self-centered, a love that seeks its own. The love of the world is opposite of what you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We know that passage very well. But I'll read in a negative way to show you how worldly love looks like. Those who do not have the love of God cannot truly be patient and kind. They see nothing wrong with being envious, with boastful or arrogant. The love of the world is rude and insists on its own way. It is easily irritable and resentful. It rejoices in wrongdoing. It celebrates falsehood. It keeps a record of wrongdoing, and it is easily angered. Friends, yes, the world can love, but the world cannot love with the love of God. A love that has no restriction, a love that has no condition, a love that is freely given unto us. And so for us as the church, as believers in God, as a beloved, even as John addresses these believers here, there's a great need for us to love like God. You see, this is the third time that John brings the theme of love for the brothers. In chapter 2, John spoke to us, telling us that he's giving us an old commandment, but yet it is a new commandment, but yet it's not old at all. He says you are to love your brothers. You are to love them with the love of God. And yet again, in chapter 3, he mentions it, that love without action is not a true love. And so why does John take so much time, so much effort to speak about love? That's why John, in the passage before us, it takes things a bit further. In the previous instances, he told us, or he gave us the command to love. But in the passage before us, he gives us the source of love. He gives us the reasons why we should love. And so he says, love is from God. God is the source of all love. And in a moment, we will see that he is the very definition of love. And so it is important for us as a church, we look to God when it comes to loving others. Because our natural temptation is to love like the world. Love that is based on how we are feeling. But this is a higher calling for a Christian. To love with the love of God. And so why should we love this way? What should be the core motivation of our love for each other? John gives us 6 reasons why we should love. And this morning, we will only consider the first 3 in the verses before us. And as we go through these motivations, I pray that the Lord will give you a resolve to love like him. A resolve to walk in light of his word. And so what is the first reason? What is the first motivation to love like God? The first is this. We love because God is love. Look at verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone does not know God, or rather, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. And so the first reason we love is because it is the character of God. This is a glorious truth. That is, God is the source of love, and thus the expectation to love one another must be evident in the beloved. It must be evident in those who profess, who claim to be Christian. Love here describes the character and the heart of God. But let's take a step back and look at the words in verse 7. John says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. As I said, John has already alluded to the theme of love. John has already called us to love one another in chapter 2, verses 9 to 11, and also in chapter 3, mainly verses 10 to 18. And Now John makes a remarkable emphasis to the extent that he points to the example of Christ. He says the reason why we love is because God loved us. Because God gave us his son, and his son laid down his love for us. But in those instances, John didn't tell us the source of love. Where does love come from? Where does love come from? That is probably the worst question you could ever ask a teenager. Hey, where does love come from? Well, she looks pretty. She's my life. I can't live without them. Where does love come from? It's amazing that we do not have to look to the world. We do not have to look to our own hearts to find that question, or rather to find that answer. But John gives it to us. The source of all love is from God, says John. And so verse 11 immediately grounds a call to mutual love in the foundational truth that love comes from God, and those who love are God's children and know God. Since love is from God, then those who are born of God must also love. I could literally end the sermon right here, and we can all go home. Because that is the thrust of the message. Love like God, because God has loved you. Amen? Brotherly love is the evidence of knowing and loving God. John has been quite serious here. He says that you cannot be a Christian if you don't have love for other believers. You cannot say you know God and at the same time you still treat those in the church indifferent, that you have no sympathy for them, you are unconcerned and uncaring about their particular needs. John says there is a problem there. There is a deep, sinful, rooted problem if you say you love God, but yet you do not love those in the church. You could say, well, Pastor Zach, I don't hate anybody. But you treat them indifferent to others. Or do you choose who you talk to? You see, friends, this command of John puts a false notion to shame. That false notion of, I love Jesus, but I don't love the church. Have you ever heard that? I love Jesus, but I don't love the church. The church is full of sinners. The church has done me wrong. But I love Jesus, but I don't love the church. How can we, with a good conscience, say we love God, we love Jesus, but hate the church? The very people that he himself died for, that he himself gave his life for them. Do you see the problem in that? There is a big, serious problem if we love God but refuse to love one another. But it's also remarkable that John even goes a step further. He says that not only God is a source of love, but he himself, God, is love. John is making a remarkable statement about the nature of God. This claim that he makes goes beyond seeing love as an attribute of God, as we would see mercy and grace, or even justice. You see, friends, I know we all affirm that God is merciful. We all affirm that God is gracious and that God is just. But have you ever thought about it? That nowhere in Scripture do we read the phrase or the words that God is mercy or God is grace or God is justice. All of these traits, attributes describe God's act upon us. God gives us his mercy. Therefore, God is merciful. God gives us his grace. Therefore, God is gracious. But here, when John says God is love, it is a remarkable claim. When John says God is love, he's telling us a glorious truth that love is the very essence of who God is. One author says this. He says, to say that God is love implies that all his activity is loving activities. If he creates, he creates in love. If he rules in love. If he judges in love. All that God does is the expression of his nature, which is to love. So love is central to God's character. God in his love gives us his grace. God in his love is merciful to us. God in his love is gracious and is just. And he judges justly. You see, friends, in his creating, in his ruling, in his instructing, in his discipline, in his rebuke, all that God does is done in love. There is nothing that God does that does not find its source in love. And it is through this knowledge and understanding that we should take this command very seriously, to love one another. The person who does not love cannot know God. The failure to love reveals that you do not know God. I like how one author puts it. He says, to know God is to know love, and to know love is to show love. Without showing love, there is no knowing love, and there is no knowing God. If we are to love each other, we are to know God's love for us. That is the first reason, the first motivation that John gives to us. And the second reason is this. We love because God gave us his Son. In verse 9 and 10, in this, the love of God was made manifest among us. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Friends, I want you to notice the phrase in this. The phrase in this. This phrase will appear four times in this epistle. We see it first in verse 9, and again we'll see it in verse 10. And then later on, we'll see it in verses 13 and 17, but it will be put a little bit different with the phrase reading, by this. But focusing on the first two instances of the use of this phrase in verses 9 and 10, John uses this phrase to point to a revelation of God's love, or to put it differently, how God demonstrates his love for us. And so John has told us, God is love, therefore love. And we're like, wait, how do we love? Because our natural inclination is not to love others. How do we show love? John says, well, we look to God to give us the example of how to love. You see, friends, in responding to this call of loving others, we can so easily be tempted to love on our own terms or give that conditional love that has restrictions. You know, we begin to have our own views of what loving others in the church looks like. You know, perhaps like Peter, when it comes to the concept of forgiving, we want to forgive seven times. Perhaps like Peter again, in our interaction with those in a church, we stick to those who are like us, who like the same thing, who think the same way, who have the same interest as us. We can so easily begin to form cliques, even within the church. John here shows us what the love of God looks like. Because the danger is there not to love. God in his love for us gave of his son. Boys and girls, you would know the answer to this question. How did God show his love to the world? How did God show his love to the world? Now, I'm pointing you to a very popular verse that perhaps you have learned at school. John 3:16. How did God show his love to the world? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. John points to a demonstration of God's love to us in the giving of his son. The fullest expression of God's love is seen in Jesus. God sent his one and only son into the world so that we might live through him. Friends, the application of this verse is not that, well, since God is love, he has only simply called us to love. And so that's what we do. We love people. Even in their sin, we love their sin and we embrace their sin and we bring them into church membership and we call them a Christian even while they're still living in their sin. That's what churches are doing today. And they're all responding to this call of love. Well, it's because God has called us to love. But friends, God in his love sacrifices one and only son. God in his love gave us the greatest gift because there was a great need for salvation because of our sin. God saw a great need, a need that separated people from himself. And thus, he sacrificially gave you Jesus. And so we love not because we have loved first, but because he loved us first. Friends, this is at the heart of the gospel message. God gave you Jesus so that you might be restored to him. It is important to notice that we aren't commanded in this passage to love as we love ourselves. You remember the great commandment that Jesus gives in Matthew 22, that love your neighbor as you love yourself. But the command to love here is different. It is not grounded on love for ourselves, but it is grounded on God's love in the death of his son. In God's love in giving us his son. The scripture is far above any other call of love. It is the ultimate love song, we might say today, because it reveals the greatest demonstration of sacrificial love. Jesus here is described as an atoning sacrifice or an appropriation for our sin. Appropriation here has the idea of a sacrifice that turns away the wrath of God. God rightly regarded us as worthy targets of his judgment. We were rebels and enemies of God. But he gave us his son. And so friends, I'll put it to you this morning that there is no other name under heaven on earth that has been given to us to which we can be saved. There is no other means that which man can be made right with God. There is no other path that can be paved so that you can enter into eternal life. God has given us his best. One preacher says that you can take mountains and hills. You can take crickets and clouds. You can take everything, every planet, every star, every form of beauty, everything that sings, everything that brings delight, and you put it on one side of the scale, and on the other side you put Christ, and he outweighs them all. God has given us the champion of heaven. God has given us the crown jewel of heaven. It is Jesus who bore the just wrath of God for your sins. God did not just simply take your sins and cast them into the ocean or set them aside. But no, God took your sins and put them on his son, and he took his son and he poured out his wrath upon him. Friends, here is love, vast as an ocean. Love and kindness as a flood. When the Prince of Life, our ransom, shed his own precious blood for you, that you would know him. And it is through the confessing of our sin that you are made right. And it is through this act of love that should invoke a deep desire to love others. You see, friends, love takes sacrifice, requires sacrifice. If we are to love, we need to deny ourselves. It takes effort. It requires action. Love is hard work. But when you consider how much God has loved you, you can have no excuse for not loving. And thirdly, John will give us this reason why we should love, and this serves as an application for us this morning. We love because we make known God to the world. Verses 11 to 12. Beloved, if God so loved you, you also must love the brethren. And when you love God, he abides in you and his love is made perfect. How can we possibly not love those whom God has loved? How can we refuse to sacrifice for those whom Christ has sacrificed his life for? How can we refrain from showing grace and mercy to those whom Christ showed his grace and mercy upon? When we live this way, it is not showing, or rather, when we live this way in not showing love to those whom God has loved, it reveals truly something troubling about our hearts. Dare I say it, it reveals that you do not truly know him. When Christ washed the feet of his disciples, you'd know the story in the Gospel of John 13. Jesus did this to show his great love and servanthood for them. You know, when we read that story, we might have expected him to conclude it by pointing to his own feet and asking and pointing to one of them, "So, who among you is going to wash my feet now? I've washed your feet. Now, who's going to wash my feet?" But no. Instead, Jesus says this in John 13, verse 14. "If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." The proper way to respond to his love is to go out and love one another. Friends, those who are believers, do you love one another? Do you show genuine love and genuine care for one another? Do you know who is part of the membership of Wycheck Baptist Church? Do you know how many people are there on the membership list? And do you interact with each and every one of them? Friends, I'm not saying this or asking this to make you feel guilty in any way, but I'm highlighting the seriousness of this call to love. Because we can so easily stick to our own little bubbles. We can so easily come to church, sit down, close our eyes when we're praying, stand up when we are singing, respond to responsive reading as we are led, listen to the preaching of God's word, sing the benediction, and go home. Is that truly loving one another? Do we engage with each other? Do we inquire about how are things in your life? How is the good Lord working in your life? Brother, sister, how can I pray for you this coming week? Friends, when we do that, we deny ourselves of our natural inclination of just to disappear. We sacrificially love those in the church. Friends, it is through our acts that we show God to the world. We cannot see God the Father. Jesus, some have seen. Jesus alluded to this in the beginning of this epistle in 1 John, the first three verses. But the Father we cannot see. It was God himself who said to Moses, when Moses asked to see God's face in Exodus 33, God responded to Moses saying that, "You cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live." And so if we cannot see God, the question arises, then can we truly know God? Can we truly, fully know God? John gives us the answer to that question in verse 12b. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. But simply put, that God can be known by love even though he cannot be seen. Through loving others, God is revealed. Through our love to each other, God is made known to the world. We know that famous song, that they will know we are Christian by our love. That song finds its grounding in the words of Jesus to his disciples when he told them that the world will know that you are my disciples by my love. What Jesus was saying is that the world would know God by how you love each other. Friends, the core is love sacrificially. So I end off with this illustration. A family was in a serious car accident. The younger son, Mike, was seriously injured and needed blood. His big brother, Danny, was only 8 years old, but he had the same blood type. And so Danny's dad explained carefully how important it was for Mike to have blood and how great it would be if Danny could help out. So there was a moment of silence. Then Danny said, "Yes, Daddy, I'll give Mikey my blood so that he can be better." So they put a needle in his veins and drew the blood they needed. Once the needle was out, Danny looked up at his father with tears running down his cheeks and said, "Daddy, when do I die?" It was only then that his father realized that Danny didn't know that he was just giving some blood. He thought he was giving his life. Friends, this is the kind of attitude, mindset that we should have towards one another. Loving sacrificially, because God in Christ loved us sacrificially. Let's pray. Oh, Father, how we are in need of your help to be able to love like you. Lord, we confess that there is still a sin that clings so closely onto us. That as we live in this world, we still battle the curse of sin and its effect in our lives. And so we do not love like we should. We do not treat others as we should. And so, Lord, we pray as a church, we pray that indeed the world would know we are Christians by our love. We pray, Lord, that you'd forgive us in those moments when we do not love like you did. We pray that, Lord, you would lead us to repentance if we have a different attitude towards others than that which you have for us. We pray that, Lord, sacrificial love would be at the very core of how we treat those in the church. That we would give of ourselves because you gave the very best. And so, Lord, we ask that you would work in and through us that which is good and pleasing in your sight to the praise and to the glory of your name. Amen.